right. You're hearing all kinds of stuff, but don't ignore it all. It's just part of our production. Nobody hears it but us. Okay?
That's fine. Yes, okay. That's fine.
Good. So it's going to be the first segment of the show airing not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Okay?
Good.
Now, what we want to do is we actually want to get it all in today. So I'd like to get in the Harrogate Festival. And, of course, I do have some listeners who listen to everything, so I'm going to explain to them that you're back, you know, and all that, so that they don't say, hey, is this the old show? Make sure they know it's a new show.
Yes, fine.
With new news. And we'll go for the cruise first.
Yes.
And then we'll give
good.
The Harrogate background. And then if you want to talk about what you're exploring or researching in Tokyo, we could do that too.
Yeah, perfect.
Now, before we get on, I just want to ask you one question, which you could talk about or not, depends on you. But around here,
right.
It's pretty timely. Do you know that they have stopped and there were protests against the Mikado here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I mean, I'd have to say, I think it's crazy. I think it's crazy, and that is the reason I've deliberately kept out of the discussion, because I would really have been very cross. But it's the main reason why we're going to planning this trip to Japan, to see an authentic Japanese Mikado, and to try to show to whether it be Americans or whoever it may be, that this idiotic approach to yellow face insulting the Japanese just isn't the case, because the Japanese recognize that the Mikado is poking fun at the British, you know, and so I decided we would do this trip to Japan, and we would also have a 1-2 day seminar which would be looking at Japanese culture, Gilbert and Sullivan and Japanese culture, and without broadcasting that it's really getting at lamplighters and all these others who are, I mean, can you imagine changing the Mikado from "We are gentlemen of Japan" to "We are gentlemen of Milan"?
Can I tell you a story? Because he's a fabulous. You know what they're proposing for Mikado? "We are gentlemen of Milan."
Yeah.
I said, now the next thing you know, the Italian. Let me tell you something, folks. I'd rather have the Italians, not have the Italians after me. But all right.
Yeah.
I know. So let's go back to what you want to do on the show, though. We definitely want to promote what you're actually doing. But do you want to say that it's a reaction to the PC?
I think it would not do well. I wouldn't want to go into a great deal of detail about it, because, as I say, it incenses me. The British are continuing to perform the Mikado in the manner in which Gilbert and Sullivan wrote it, in every element, and I can't believe that to change that is adding any value to something that has been successful for 140 years.
All right, so maybe we can make that statement, because I have to tell you the truth. It's very good radio, and it is very relevant, and sometimes Gilbert and Sullivan is not relevant. It's in people's minds. You know that. So when it becomes relevant, you kind of use it. But we don't have to go too crazy over it, and it's the third part of what we're going to do anyway. But I think it's important for you to tell the research you're doing. The fact will be available. Yeah. I think it is important to say that you're going to be studying it, and I think it is important to say that the Japanese understand that it's I don't know if you'd call it a parody of British society at that time. So so this is a different order of American blackface. It's not the same story here. All right, but we're going to start with the cruise itself, which is different,
splendid.
Which is a kind of a travel piece. All right, sir, whenever you're ready. All right, so I'm going to be quiet. You'll hear the music. And, you know, our first segment is 9 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. Okay.
Yeah.
11 minutes. Wait a second. No. I got to get the title again right. Your title. Give me a second. And I want to get the website right. Okay. exactly how should I introduce you?
Well,
Ian.
I'm Ian Smith. I'm the founder of the Gilbert Sullivan Festival and the chairman of an organization called Theatrical Adventures.
Okay.
And I can then explain what they are, if you like.
Sure. And what is the best website?
Again, it's the same. It's www.gsfestivalsplural.org.
Okay, very good. All right, now, Stuart, you can go ahead.
Stu, I don't know if you heard me. Yeah, I am.
Okay. Seconds of silence, and then we will begin.
Thank you.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
He sees hair on his head and not on his shoulders. And this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we have a wonderful summer show for you today. It's really going to get you thinking and moving and planning your vacation, perhaps an immediate vacation if you're ready to run away right now, but certainly for 2017. Because we have an old friend with us, somebody who you've enjoyed listening to before, and that is Ian Smith. He's the founder of Gilbert and Sullivan Festivals. Of course, the website you all know is gsfestivals.org. But he has a lot more to tell us today because he's also the chairman of Theatrical Adventures. Ian, we'll talk about the festivals a little bit later on in the show and some amazing research that you're actually doing in Japan for all of us. But let's start by welcoming you and asking you to explain this intriguing organization, Theatrical Adventures.
Good afternoon or good morning. Thank you very much, and it's nice to be back. I think you, as a Gilbert and Sullivan enthusiast yourself, will understand very readily when I say that we have an annual festival which runs for 3 weeks every August. And at the end of that 3 weeks, we're already starting to look forward 12 months hence to the next festival. And we decided 3 or 4 years ago, wouldn't it be nice to have something in between? So what did we do? We chartered our own boat to sail up the Nile, and we brought with us a whole party of Gilbert and Sullivan enthusiasts, and we had a party which rocked all the way from Luxor up to Abu Simbel and back to Luxor and back to either England or America, or some of our guests flew in from Australia. Of course, over the course of the last 2 or 3 years, the Nile and Egypt sadly has not become quite as stable as we would have wished. But our party of GNS lovers enjoyed our theatrical adventures so much that they said, well, why can't we go somewhere else? And so 18 months ago, we found a very outstanding river cruise company based in Bulgaria who had some outstanding river cruise vessels, and we started going up the River Rhine and the River Danube. And these were very much theatrical adventures with a very strong Gilbert and Sullivan theme. We brought professional singers, entertainers who entertained, obviously. But then in addition to that, we were saying to people, and you can come and you can sing, because what we'll do every day for 45 minutes, we'll have a rehearsal of one of the operas, and on the last evening, we'll have a gala dinner, and then we do a semi-stage performance of the Mikado or HMS Pinafore, etc. And it's proved enormously successful, particularly with the, shall we say, the over 50s, particularly again with a lot of our friends who have lost their partner and possibly didn't want to go on their own anywhere, but would be very happy to go somewhere where their hands would be held and they were with a group of people who shared this common interest. So end of October, sorry?
I was going to ask you, when is the next trip? So now I think you're going to tell us.
Well, at the end of October this year, we have a trip which will leave from Budapest, capital of Hungary, and it's an extraordinary voyage which awaits the traveller who wants to venture off the beaten path in Eastern Europe. It goes via Croatia, Romania, Serbia, Bulgaria, and back to Budapest. And we will, during that trip, we will have a look at the Mikado and have everybody who's on, if they wish, have an opportunity of having a sing of the Mikado with some outstanding entertainers, international opera, operetta, and Gilbert and Sullivan stars who give an entertainment every evening. And that, I think, is going to be fantastic. The second one, which goes at the beginning of November, is closer to home, if we call home England. But again, it's quite interesting because we leave London St. Pancras and we're going to take the famous Eurostar train all the way through the tunnel and across to Amsterdam, where our vessel will be waiting for us in Amsterdam. And over the following 6 days, nights, we'll actually be travelling through the beautiful scenery of the Netherlands and Belgium, medieval cities. And here we're going to be studying trial by jury. So two conflicting different holidays. One you have to fly to Budapest, the other you can actually take the train through the Channel Tunnel. And then in the spring next year, spring 17, we're going to repeat the Budapest one going down to Bulgaria. And our final one is this exciting trip which starts again in Budapest, which if your listeners haven't been to, they absolutely should go. It's the most exciting capital that I think you'll find anywhere. And we go from Budapest, we're going to go up through Bratislava, we're going to go to Vienna, we have a day and a bit in Vienna, we have an opportunity of going to Sound of Music country, and then we finish in Passau in Germany, and we go back across to Prague. So we have three major opera cities and operetta: Budapest, Vienna, and Prague. And again, entertainment all the way. Fantastic group of people, many of whom come from the United States.
Now, you know, I want to set the stage for this with everybody. It's true. Ian said that I'm a Gilbert and Sullivan fan, and there was a Gilbert and Sullivan Society in New York, which no longer exists, but there's NIGASP in New York Gilbert and Sullivan players, and there are many things all over the country. But for the people who love Gilbert and Sullivan, they're probably taking notes. So let me, again, give the website. But I want to put a little different spin on this. The website is gsfestivals.org. You've never heard anything like it. This is the most wonderful. This is the state-of-the-art for people who already like Gilbert and Sullivan. But that's not a whole lot of people. This is something that I won't even call it a revival, because Gilbert and Sullivan has never gone away. But what I want to point out to the rest of you is that without Gilbert and Sullivan, there would be no Broadway. I went and I sat down and I was listening to the track for Hamilton. And again, rap are patter songs. You can't, if you love theater and if you love musical theater, then Gilbert and Sullivan is the beginning. It's step one. If you love opera and operetta, well, of course, number one. But if you just like fun and you like being together, there's a whole world called the mature market of travel. And Ian hit the nail on the head. We love adventure. We want something brand new. If we're travelers, we want to go to a place we've never been before. We don't want to get off and on a bus anymore. And yet, we want it to be physically easy for us with a huge amount of companionship and sometimes compassion. So for people who couldn't even care less about Broadway or Gilbert and Sullivan, this is just a really good trip. And I'm hoping to do the spring one because I've been to some of the places, but I have not been to Serbia. There's a lot of places that to me will be an adventure. So please make sure that you get in touch with Ian. It's very easy to do it. And that is gsfestivals.org. But coming right up in August, where I will attend, is the original, and that is the On Land Festival in Harrogate, England. So we have about a minute. We're going to take a little bit of a time on our next segment to talk about what Ian is doing to get us, the mature traveler, to Asia, if that's been your dream. We'll talk about that in our next segment. But right now, just wrap it up, Ian, with how they can find out about the Harrogate Festival and the dates for that one.
Sure. Well, again, everything about all that we're doing is on that same website, www.gsfestivals.org. This year's festival in Harrogate opens on August 3rd, and it runs through to the 21st of August. So again, we'd say to any of your listeners, you know, if you're in England, if you're in London, it's very easy. Take a train, come and see a matinee, or if you've got 2 or 3 days, come and spend 2 or 3 days with us. You'll find on our website some accommodation packages, so that if you were saying, God, what a good idea, but where would we stay? We can organize your accommodation, we organize your theatre tickets, we organize everything. Professional opera company, 4 brand new professional shows, The Mikado, The Sorcerer, Yeoman of the Guard, and Pirates of Penzance. And then we have a university festival. It's non-stop Gilbert and Sullivan from 9 in the morning till 1 o'clock the following morning, with meals and bar and everything, lots of fun thrown in between.
So this is a beautiful thing, and, you know, I freely admit it's my thing. I named my daughter's middle name Phoebe after a character in Yeoman of the Guards. I mean, that's how I'm involved with Gilbert and Sullivan and how much it's done for me to lift my spirits. But I'm actually jealous of you guys who don't know GNS, because you really don't know the power of lifting of the spirits, and you'll find out. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Asia and the mature traveler and how you can make an easy trip there, singing all the way. So once again, this is Adrienne Berg. This is Generation Bold. This is the Fountain of Truth, and we'll be back in just a minute. All right, so we're gonna do. So you're gonna do the music again now, right, Stuart?
Yes.
If it doesn't play and you put the music in, then you'll have to come and tell me when to start talking. So, how come that's happening? Do you know? He's gonna have to edit in our music on the in and out, but it has nothing to do with you. That's just what we're talking about. Okay. So we're going to jump into to what's going on with Japan, too. Now, it's apparently your son is out there looking around, right? He's scouting out for you?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. You got him in the business. Does he love GNS, or is he just doing it?
No, he's at university in China. He's studying Chinese, and but he's taking advantage of living out there to travel and see the rest of Asia. So I said, well, why don't you go to Japan and do these little bits of business for me?
I may ask you that too, because it's just charming. Yes, I am.
You may- may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, we are back. This is Adrian Berg, the host of Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? About aging. And we go ahead every single week and we bring topics to you that generally dare not speak its name. Everything from incontinency to sex after 60 to spirituality and what you can tell people and how you explain your new feelings to yourself and your friends and your family, where to live, and of course, health care. But if you ask anybody what they want to do after retirement, according to the AARP, 84% of them will say travel. And so travel is also in my blood. I love it. And here's the problem. You either have on the bus and off the bus, on the bus and off the bus. No offense to the ABA, American Bus Association, one of my favorites in the world. I'll show you how to do it right. But you know what I mean. And then you have fitness travel, which is great if you're at a certain level of fitness. So there you are trying to keep up with everybody. So where do we find something really special, unique, adventurous, that we can have fun and feel extremely safe? Well, most of the time it's either at a conference or festival for the arts, or it's on a river cruise. And guess what? We have Ian Smith with us, and he is both the founder of the Gilbert and Sullivan Festival, which is taking place this August, takes place every year, in Harrogate, England. But he's also the chairman of Theatrical Adventures. Now, in the first part, we learned some of the beautiful river cruises that's coming up in 2016 and 2017, and you can read all about that if you're tuning in late at gsfestivals.org. You can also read about the upcoming festival and next year's festival. But something new is brewing, and that is Ian is going to tell us about the adventure you can have in Asia, specifically Japan. But Ian, before you do, I know your son is doing research, and I thought it was really charming that he was helping you out. Explain that to everybody.
Well, our festival and all our activities are very much a family affair. So there's myself, there's my wife, and my son Neil. We're the three founders and directors of the festival and Theatrical Adventures. But then I have three younger boys, and one of them is actually studying Chinese at university in China presently. And when I decided that I was interested to look at Japan, and there's a particular reason for it, I said to Oliver, I said, would you like to go to Japan and do some research for me? And Oliver was already running towards the airplane as I finished the sentence, and he's actually in Japan at the moment, and he'll be coming back next week to England with a whole outline proposal of what we're looking to do in 2017.
Now, of course, you said the magic words, I have a very special reason for going and looking at Japan. What's the special reason from the point of view of Gilbert and Sullivan and the festival?
Well, it's extremely interesting. I think people who know Gilbert and Sullivan would be aware that they had a fairly stormy relationship. They were two quite opposite individuals. And Sullivan became quite bored with Gilbert, always wanting to do something about lozenges and mystique and one thing and another. And they went through a period of not being able to agree on what a show would be. And suddenly, Gilbert came up with this concept of the Mikado. And if we look at it very closely, rumor has it that he was influenced by a sword dropping off his drawing room wall in his drawing room, and the fact that in London at the time, there was actually a Japanese exhibition. And the Japanese had sent something like 100 people across to introduce Londoners, British people generally, to the art of Japanese culture. And Gilbert went ahead and produced his Mikado, and he gave it a secondary title. And the secondary title is The Town of Titipu. Now, in actual fact, we believe, and this is part of the research that Oliver's currently carrying out, that some of the people who were in London back in 1878 came from a town something like 50 miles north of Tokyo called Chichipu. And if you consider that Japanese are not very good at pronouncing ch's, they mix them up with t's, Titipu and Titipu could very easily be the same town, because he invited some people from the exhibition to go and show his Doily Cart Opera Company how to hold a fan, ladies how to walk in the manner of the Japanese. So what I'm wanting to do, 10 years ago, we were delighted to discover that a group in Tokyo had translated the Mikado into Japanese. And I invited them to come to our festival in England with a Japanese production of the Mikado. It was a sensation. The British audience didn't understand a word of what was going on, and yet they understood every word because they knew the music, etc. The Japanese loved it. They kept throwing in little half sentences in English, very mischievous. They were all professional singers from Tokyo State Opera, etc., etc. And we had a ball. Now, presently, there is a discussion going on about the future of the Mikado, particularly in California. It's something which I think perhaps amuses we British. Gilbert and Sullivan wrote the Mikado. It's been presented in the same manner for 140 years, and we see absolutely no reason to change it. But there have been protests in part of America that were actually portraying the Japanese in a manner that is perhaps poking fun at the Asians. Absolute poppycock, if you'll excuse an English expression.
I know. Ian gets mad, folks, that poppycock, you can translate that into a Bronx, and you know exactly what he means. He's mad. But, I'm upset,
So basically, what I discovered was that in summer next year, the Chichipu Opera Company are going to reprise the performance of the Mikado as part of the celebration of the opening of a new town hall in Chichipu, 50 miles north of Tokyo. And I just thought, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could take many of those doubters from parts of America who don't think the Japanese like the Mikado to go and see the Japanese actually performing it, perhaps to have a day and a half educational seminar, which would be bringing in some experts to talk about the possibility of the connection between the Knightsbridge Japanese exhibition of 1878, the Doily Cart Opera Company, the Mikado and Gilbert, etc., and at the same time have an opportunity of visiting Chichipu, which has been described as traditional Japan's hidden treasure on Tokyo's doorstep. And of course we go and have a look at Mount Fuji, and we'd spend 2 or 3 days sightseeing in Tokyo. But it would be, the theme to an extent would be Gilbert and Sullivan.
So,
everybody,
you know,
I've talked to so far think it's great.
I think it's great too. I'm telling this out loud now. I think it's so great that I was about to go to Japan, because Disney is opening in Shanghai, and my son is an executive at Disney. We were going there together. I was going to Japan. I'm postponing that Japan so that I can see what is happening with gsfestivals.org, and maybe we will all go together. So if you had an interest in any of these things, just go directly to Ian Smith. He is the most charming, wonderful guy. And we'll be back in a moment with a surprise guest. Don't go anywhere.
I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, Ian, that was fantastic as usual. I love it.
Thank you.
Now I'm going on to my next guest, and we have to be time wise. But, you know, I'll send you a couple of emails. I'm very excited about the festival, and we will continue to talk more and after the festival. I have given out information on the festival at different seminars of mine, right? But
yeah,
we could do a lot more, particularly if we have time for 2017. Okay?
Yeah.
Anything
That's
else?
That's very good. Thank you very much indeed. I shall look forward to seeing you in Harrogate, if not before.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm not hanging up. I have to stay on. Thanks.
Okay. I'll hang up. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. Take care. Stuart? Which one? Is it this one? Okay. But this is going to be the first guest.
Yeah. I suggest. chance we make this a second guess. Just in case the next one doesn't show up. Not begin.
Dr. DeBiase, is that the way I'm
DeBiase.
Saying? DeBiase. That was the thing,
yeah.
I needed to know. Okay. So, very, very good. You will be the second guest on the show that I just did the first part of. So when you hear me introduce the show, it may sound a little funny because I'm really not introducing it. I'm continuing it. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
And what we do is we do two segments, and there's a commercial in between, but you won't hear the commercial. What you will hear is some music, and around that time, if you're talking, you kind of have to wrap it up. If you talk a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds under the music, that's not a problem. That can always be fixed. All right?
Okay.
And of course, what we're going to be talking about is your topic of aging and pain, and they don't have to be related. All right?
Right.
And
okay.
What we're going to... Now, here's my question. You have the POP method. Does POP method for whole body healing, does POP stand for something? Is it an anagram? Or?
It stands for power over pain.
Power over pain. Excellent. All right.
Right.
So that's number one. The other is... The website is yourname.com. That's it?
DrDeBiase.com is my website. Yes.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well. I don't know if that's something that you're...
They generally go right to the... I mean, I'll say that, but...
Right to the website, yeah.
Yeah. But it's Dr. DeBiase.
Yes.
Okay, very, very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready to rock and roll. It's going to be very easy. I'm going to ask you questions that you know from the flood, you know? Very, very simple, because your message is pretty clear. And now, but Power Over Pain, is that on Amazon? How would they get that?
Amazon. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Amazon, Balboa Press, Barnes & Noble, you can find it at any
Great.
Of those. Yes.
Excellent. All right, Stuart. We are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit. I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello again. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we had a beautiful half hour talking about traveling to England, all over the Eastern Europe and Asia, and singing together. But what if you're not feeling well? Now, I promised you a surprise and special guest, and I surely have one. You may already know Dr. Michelle DeBiase because she has a book, Power Over Pain, the POP, P-O-P, Power Over Pain, method for whole body healing. And I want you to know that we do get up every morning. I think that one of the biggest problems of aging is that we have this mindset that it has to come with pain. And I'm going to tell you that this weekend, this particular weekend, in New Jersey, my great state, there's 4 hours of chanting, spirituality, meditation, and many, many people are coming. And the reason it's a big deal in this state is it's at NJPAC, which is like saying meditating in Lincoln Center or Kennedy Center. It's a very unusual event. I can't tell you how many people are already anticipating that they're going to be in pain because we have that mindset. And we have a doctor here who says pain is not a natural event that comes as we age. It doesn't have to be that way. So thank you so much for being with us, Dr. DeBiase.
Thank you, Adrienne, for having me.
So let's take a look. I mean, the name of your book is pretty clear, Power Over Pain, the POP Method for Whole Body Healing. What's the POP Method?
Well, the POP method is a system that I developed that gives five steps so that we can really identify what those key emotions are, what the stories are that we tell ourselves every day that can actually make pain anchor to our bodies and keep the pain hanging on. So it gives an easy way for us to be able to look at some other ways of identifying what's going on in our bodies and why we may have the aches and pains that we do.
So you see that there are things in our past that may have engendered pain and that we keep it in place?
Absolutely. Also, it's a lot of our beliefs and the stories that we tell ourselves day in and day out that can actually cause our pain to become chronic. It might not necessarily be the emotions itself that started it, but then it's the way we talk about it, what we believe and about aging and about how our life is that can make it fuel that pain and make it hold on.
So let's go through a little bit of a journey. Let's say it's a person who has back pain. And I know that
Right. You're
trained in chiropractic practice, that you've been in practice since 1999, so you have many, many experiences with real-life patients who were sufferers. What would you do? How would you get them started through the POP method?
Well, the first thing that I do is I like to listen to what they have to say, because a lot of times in our consultations, when you hear what patients are saying to us and to themselves, that can give us a good clue if this has an emotional root or not. For instance, if somebody comes in and says, well, I just hurt all over, and I know this is just, I'm getting old, and I know this is part of it, but I don't want to feel this way. Well, that's clue number one that this is a belief system that is deep-rooted. And we hear this all the time. People think that pain is just a natural progression of aging, but it doesn't have to be. So that's where we start. Also, if they've been through the gamut, they've been to medical doctors, they've been to chiropractors, they've taken all the traditional, conventional methods and used them and haven't gotten relief, then again, that's another clue that maybe there's something a little deeper that's causing this to hold on.
Now, again, the book is available at Amazon, and it's in Barnes & Noble, and you can order it anyway through any of your bookstores, wherever you're listening. And it is it's called Power Over Pain, the POP Method for Whole Body Healing. Now, generally, when we'll take a healthy person who's aging and has some pain. Generally, it's going to be back pain, or it's going to be knee pain or hip pain. The first thing that happens is they give you a pill. That's the first thing. Or they even
Right. Tell
you, go and get yourself medicate, get your Aleve and all that. Is that still part of the process of POP, or do we do without that, or is there something in between here? How do you
view
it?
I think that traditional methods have their place, and conventional medicine has its place. But a lot of times, that's the quick fix. It's making a patch, basically. It's putting a Band-Aid on it, and it will return. And that outside-in type of mentality is something that we've been bred. It's been bred in us. Like growing up, you would hear the commercials, how do you spell relief, R-O-L-A-I-D-S. We're trained to want to take something to fix it. But what we're finding more and more is that doesn't work anymore. That is just putting a Band-Aid on the problem. And if we don't get down to the roots and the real core issues that are going on, the pain will return. And that's a chiropractic philosophy. It's always been a chiropractic philosophy is to get to the root of the problem and help the nervous system, correct the nervous system, make your body function better by getting the nervous system to function better. But what we're finding now is that stress is such a huge component of how our nervous system works. But even though doctors may come and tell you, well, you need to work on your stress, you need to have less stress, they don't really give you the tools to handle the stress. And that's where this method comes into play. It helps give some steps, give some tools in order for us to handle that stress, recognize what those emotions are that are causing our stress, and then healing and releasing them so that we can get healthier and feel better.
And you know, I mentioned here in New Jersey, we're in about 38 states, and there's no place that you can't find yoga or meditation or spirituality. And in fact, there's a whole world called spirituality and aging that's studying.
Right.
Is meditation part of what you're talking about? Because I do meditate, and I have had experiences of being in pain and breathing into the pain. And honestly, it did go away. It's not woo-woo. It really did
right.
go away.
Right.
So is this
and
part of it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Meditation is a part of this process. We want to try to look inside, and that's what meditation is looking to the inner. But a lot of people have trouble with meditation. A lot of people
yeah.
don't know even where to start. And so I do give information in my book about how do we meditate? What are some simple ways to try to start that practice? Because that is very important.
Now let's go back to the belief system. You know,
okay.
it's wonderful. But people are always saying if you're in the field of self-actualization or spirituality, and also doctors will tell you, get up every morning and have an attitude of gratitude. And that's the big, you know, mantra. And it is true. You wake up every morning, you feel that you're grateful for being alive, you look around at what you have, you think about your kids that you love, and you have a better day. But every time I say this, a friend of mine, usually somebody over 60, maybe over 70, says, first thing I think about when I get up is that I'm stiff and I'm in pain. So how can I have an attitude of gratitude every morning? But isn't that part of what you're saying, too, that we kind of harbor and almost cherish our pains? Because I'll tell you, half the time I'm having conversations with older adults, they're telling me what hurts. They're not telling me about anything else in the world. Why do we focus on that so much? Is it cultural or what triggers that?
I really believe that a lot of it is we begin to identify ourselves with our pain. And what I mean by that is you think about it, how many times have you heard someone say they went to the doctor and they had this problem and their doctor said it was the worst thing they'd ever seen before, or it was, wow, I've never seen anything like this. It makes them almost feel special, and it gives more attention to them. And if you think about it, I mean, consciously, nobody wants to hurt. Nobody wants to feel bad. But subconsciously, how is it serving us? And that's something that I really deal with and work on in this method is what are some of those things that is it giving us more attention with our family? Is it giving us an excuse to get out of the house and see other people? It gives us a reason to go to the doctor. There's all these other factors that can be playing a role. And gratitude, it's funny that you mentioned gratitude because that is one of my key steps is practicing gratitude because happiness heals. And the happier you are and the more positive you are, the better you feel and the healthier you are. And
so we will be back in a moment. And I knew that we would want to be talking forever here, but we'll be back in a moment with more of how you get in touch with yourself and have power over pain. A great book. Don't go anywhere.
For my age.
Okay, so that was great. We're going to come back in just a few minutes. This is Stuart, the last segment of the show? Right, so at the end I'll be saying goodbye to everybody anyway. And we're going to continue just as we've been doing. Let's pick it up with the attitude of gratitude. Is there anything else that you want to bring out? Anything other than the book, the website, or is there a point that you particularly want to make? And I'll make sure that you get a chance to do that without running out of time.
I think we're doing okay. I've pretty much covered most of the points that I wanted to, so we'll just
Wonderful. Keep
going.
Good. Let's keep going. It's a great show. All right, Stu, we are ready.
Okay. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're looking in the mirror a little bit right this moment with Dr. Tobias. And I want to spell that name because you may want to go on that website. You should go. It's drdibiase.com. Dr. Dr. Tobias. Dibiase. Name of the book? If you even Google the POP method, you'll get it right away. But it's Power Over Pain. The POP method, and it's on Amazon for whole body healing. So why are we looking in the mirror? Let me set the stage again for those of you who may not have tuned in the first segment. You know, we do have pain. We have pain as we age. We take it for granted. We accept it. We even chuckle about it sometimes. And we think we're great if we can work through the pain, be in pain, and do things anyway. I mean, that is nice, but it's not necessary. And others, the doctor is revealing, and this is a little dicey, want to hold on to that pain because there's something in it for us. Whether it's the ability to be a center of attention in a doctor's office, whether we can take the emphasis off the younger people in our family and bring attention to ourselves, or other things. And there's a method for getting rid of it because she says no matter what you get out of it, you really would love not to have it in the first place. So let's go back, doctor. We finished the other segment talking about wanting to feel gratitude, which leads to happiness, which leads to less pain. Now, that does not seem physical. And we're very, very practical in this country, and we feel that the physical is the physical and the emotional is the emotional. But I don't think that's exactly the connection that you make. So let's take a look at that from your point of view.
Well, you're absolutely right, because we do put a lot of focus on the physical aspects of pain. And like I said before, doctors will address the fact that stress does cause problems in your body and will wreak havoc in your body. And I don't think there's many people out there that would deny that.
Correct.
But we do not put a lot of emphasis on the emotional and spiritual aspects of our health. It tends to get us out of balance. And so we put all this focus on eating better and exercising and getting sleep and all these great things that do help us become healthier. But then what about the stress? What about those aspects? What about those feelings that are buried within us that are creating more problems in our bodies? We don't tend to address those things. And so that's where this comes into play, because I really feel if we're going to be truly healthy, we have to have a balance emotionally, spiritually, and physically.
We do a lot of research on longevity from a point of view of pure research longevity studies. We're not in the field of medicine. We're in the field of money. Financial gerontology, and people have to understand that they're making financial decisions sometimes based on how long they'll live. So we do a lot of this, and stress is a killer. It's a killer right up there with anything else that you feel is more concrete, like cancer. It's just that it does. People don't get diagnosed as stress. It's not a diagnosis. So it's a very, very tough thing. It's like, you know, getting a firefly into a bottle. It's very hard to grasp how do you reduce the stress when it's not a big crisis. It's just an everyday way of looking at life. Now, in POP, you do help with that. Can you again go into some of that? We spoke about meditation. We spoke about an attitude of gratitude. What else can we do to reduce that underlying stress in our life that might be causing pain?
Well, first and foremost, we need to identify some of those key emotions that are causing our stress. And that is very difficult for a lot of people, because one of the common comments I get is, well, everybody has stress. Everybody feels bad at one time or another. We're all stressed. That's our life. And I agree with that. But some people handle their stress better than others. So we have to identify what some of those key feelings are that are driving the stress and that are causing these problems. And so that's part of this method, is figuring out what some of those key emotions are. And one thing that the connection between emotions and pain, this really isn't a new concept. Louise Hay has spoken about it for years, and even in some of her books, she has documented where certain emotions will cause particular pain patterns. And that's a good place to start, and that's something that I do include in the book, is some charts, so that we can try to look at some of the pain patterns that we have and go back to the roots and see if that resonates with us. For instance, I know you've heard the expression, I have the weight of the world on my shoulders.
Yes.
Okay. Well, from documented studies, they've shown that that's actually true, that when we have left shoulder pain, a lot of times that comes from family stress. And if we have pain in our right shoulder, a lot of times that's money stress. So that can kind of clue us in to what may be some of those underlying emotions. And then we can work on bringing those to the surface and working through them. And a lot of times that will help with the pain as well.
So this is a truly an important book, and it's a particularly important book for Generation Bold, because Generation Bold are a group of older adults all over the country that want to get out there. Every time I finish a show, and I'll do this in a moment myself right now, I say, get out there and make it happen, it being anything you want to happen in the world. And you know what? You can't do it if you're in pain. And if you are listening to Dr. DeBias and you're identifying with your pain, and you make it part of your identity, you have all kinds of excuses. So pain is also an excuse to not get out there and make it happen, and particularly with the older adult, because you can get away with it. Younger people are in pain too. I actually have a beautiful 33-year-old son who has arthritis. But nobody will coddle him about that. They don't expect him not to work. For us, it's okay to sit in the house, and that's why you've got to have this book. The book is Power Over Pain, the POP Method for Whole Body Healing. If you want to look at the website, it's drdibiase.com, drdebias.com. So we thank you so much for this. I mean, there's just no time to go through all of these areas, but I know that you're continuing to work. And in 1 second, is another book coming out? That's what I want to know.
Not quite yet, but on my website, I do have a blog, and that is where I'm putting a lot of new content, and eventually I am planning on writing a book.
This is the next book. Thank you. We'll be back next week. Get out there, kids. Make it happen without pain. Okay, so that last part, that gets cleaned up. Don't worry about that. The music won't come in. And we'll have the information on the blog. Now, speaking of blog, if there's anything you want to send, what we do with this is, of course, it airs, and then we put it on the website, generationboldradio.com. So that's like archived. And then people can hear it on stations all over the country, but they could also hear it on BizTalk app, which is a free app. So they can hear that anywhere in the world, really. So if you want to tell people about it, you can. And but if you want to send anything in for our blog, we'll post it on our blog.
Okay.
Which is on that same thing. For now, we'll send you an email. You'll be actually on the first page of our website starting around the middle of next week.
Okay.
And then people will be able to listen online. But if you want anyone to hear the show this weekend, which airs at 10 o'clock Eastern time, and you don't think that they are in a station that they could turn on the station, then just give them BizTalk app. Tell them to go to the BizTalk app. It's free, and they can hear it on their phone.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, great.
So this is great. Is the book going well? Because
it is.
Intriguing.
Yes, it's going well. It's just this is my first time doing any of this. So, and this was my first radio interview.
If you have a PR person, they're going to be very proud of you.
Well, thank you. I think it went well, and I appreciate it so much that you let me speak today.
Yeah, well, it was beautifully done. I thought it covered a lot of territory. So that's great. And of course, I do believe in what you're talking about, so that helps too. All right. Now, I'm having another guest, so I can't hang up, but you can. And have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye.
I think it has to be next week because the way I did him, he was the first segment of a show.
Okay. So we do a first segment with this kid, with the person, or we can do a first segment with him. So
no, it has to be him because I said the end of him, a surprise guest.
You have to take surprise guest too next week because you still don't know who your next second guest is next week. We'll still have to get surprise guest either way.
But I don't have to say surprise guest. Hello, how are you?
Hi, good.
This is Emma.
This is she. This is
right,
Adrian.
Yes, Adrian. Stuart, it's almost, what does this say here? This is my producer, I'm asking.
Ivatori, I think.
Is your last name Ivatori?
Ivatori. That's right.
Emma Ivatori. Okay, I want to say that
That's
correctly.
Right.
And what is the title that you want me to use?
You can use editor of Heartfulness Magazine and Heartfulness Trainer.
Okay, excellent. So, we're not on the air. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. So I'm planning to go to this event, all right? So we certainly want to talk about the event, you know. But we want to make it evergreen. So we can say, you know, you're doing an event on such and such a time, but after this event that's coming up in New Jersey, because it's a national show, are there other events, or do you want to promote the magazine? You tell me.
Yeah, so because there's only one series of conferences scheduled right now, it would more be to promote the magazine, and that we have an app and the practice. So the practice can be, you can tune in online. You can find local meetups or local trainers. The magazine is a great resource because it's a free online subscription. And then there's, you know, people want to bring it to their places of business or residences or community centers, then we can do workshops locally.
Good. And so, of course, the questions I'm going to ask you are pretty obvious. Tell us about what heartfulness means. Tell us how you get it out to the public. Tell us how it benefits us and so on. Now, my producer, stay here, was talking to me about the second guest on the show, and we have two. I'm actually struggling because one is a wonderful guest on travel, but and we've done this already. You're the first guest on the show, but we've done all the other segments already. The other one is a doctor who wrote a book called Power Over Pain, and power includes meditation.
Yeah.
And spirituality over pain, and I'm wondering if you're not a better fit. I think we're going to make this the first segment of Sunday show.
Well, I definitely, you know, I'm not a medical professional, but there are research studies, and I can talk about my personal experience. But I think they might dovetail each other really nicely.
Very nicely, right. And so very good. All right. So the way we do it is very simple. You're going to hear music. I'm going to introduce the show. Even though I did the second part already, this is the new show. And then I'm going to jump into you, ask you questions, all of which you're going to know the answers to. Then you'll hear some music. And if you're talking, you have to kind of be quiet. And they'll go to a commercial, but you won't hear it. And then we'll have our second segment. Okay?
Sounds great. Okay. Sounds good.
Let's go. Wait, no.
Eva Tori. I just want to say it right. Eva Tori.
Yeah, that's
good.
Right.
Good. I'm ready.
You ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
He sees hair on his head and not on his shoulders. And when you hear that little ditty, you know it is part of the wonderful 10-minute musical written especially for this show. This show is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, and my name is Adrienne Berg. I'm the host, and we are heard now, 38 stations all over the country. It is the only show that deals with every aspect of aging that you could possibly imagine, and it's definitely getting somewhere because we keep adding stations and listeners, and we're very, very excited about what's happening with our show. Also, the 2015 winner of the Mature Gold Media Award. All right, so now that I got my two cents in and I did my own personal bragging, let me brag about my guests and actually the show in general. This is a show that is a life changer. It's easy to say, but I'm going to prove it. If you listen carefully to our guests today, the second one is a surprise guest, you're going to find out both the spiritual, emotional, and the practical medical ways of changing your life through a variety of practices. One of them is meditation, but many others as well. We have Emma Evatori. Now, Emma Evatori is both the editor of Heartfulness magazine. She's also very involved with a great event that's coming up that I'm planning to be at by the time you're listening to this. That event will already be a past great success. But there are programs for you personally and your community in many parts of the country to practice heartfulness. All well and good, Emma, but we don't know what heartfulness is. So Emma, as editor and trainer, explain first, before we go any further, what is heartfulness?
Yeah, well, it's so nice to be on the program today. Heartfulness is a method of meditation. It's a really simple form of meditation that has been around for about 100 years. It started in the 1800s and has been really taken internationally kind of by word of mouth. And we're really trying to bring it more into the general public worldwide. It's a simple practice where we spend time every day to connect our mind to our heart. And we sit in silent meditation with a suggestion that there's a source of light already present within us. And as we attend to that light and that presence inside, we begin to allow our minds to quiet down and discover the inner resources in our heart with the inspiration and intuition that's already we contain inside.
So, you know, I have to say that this is all done in partnership with the United Nations Department of Public Information, relaxation and meditation, wellness programs. Businesses do this. But let's face it, Emma. The average person who is brought up in the U.S. still thinks that this is an Eastern practice. It seems very, very unusual to them. They can't even sit still for 5 minutes unless they're watching the television program. How do you get us? See, I meditate, so I know, but it's taken years. How do you get a culture like that to relax?
I totally understand. I really love what Dan Harris says. He's a news anchor that had a panic attack on the air.
Yes.
And he kind of talks about, what's that?
It was in the news, but people know about that.
He's great. So he talks about how he's kind of a reluctant advocate of meditation, a reluctant ambassador, if you will. And from his recovery through that panic attack, he ended up doing a meditation practice and kind of understood why there's such a buzz around it. What I love that he says, in the 1940s, if you ask someone, if you told someone, you know, I'm going for a run, they would say, what's chasing you? And with that metaphor, sometimes when you talk to people that you meditate, they're going to look at you like you're a little bit weird. But it's becoming a modern phenomenon because it's so effective. We've done a lot. I mean, you see the computer technology, the focus on neuroscience, the focus on mind studies and neurology, how we've become such a mind-centered culture. And we're moving into that mindfulness area, understanding that the stressors that are in our environment are overwhelming to our system. And what heartfulness does is it reestablishes the mind and heart connection. There's this connection that we have. It's a spectrum of thinking to feeling, of mind to heart. And we're so caught up in our culture and our mind. I know I grew up, I went to a private school and was valedictorian of my class at UCLA, which is all well and good, but I was a really anxious, kind of neurotic person for a while there. Always positive and spiritually oriented, but I had a lot of anxious tension and kind of a sadness underneath all that. And what meditation has done for me is it's not only has it helped me refine my intellect, but it's also helped me tap into my feelings in a more centered, balanced, rational way. It's helped me reduce my stress levels. It's helped me form better relationships. So it's a very practical practice. We understand that we have to take care of our bodies, whether it's sleeping enough, eating the right things, exercising. But meditation is the exercise for our mind and our heart center. It's for the inside of us. So we're great at taking care of our bodies, but as a culture, we're understanding more that we need to take care of that inner resource that's so precious and so delicate. And we can't just bombard ourselves with information and take everything on all the time. We have to tune into what's already there and the wealth and the intelligence that's connected to ourselves within.
Now, you know, we'll talk about the magazine in a minute, but I must say to my listeners, most of my listeners are people who are, let's say, 50-plus, and they can be 50, 60, 70s, even 90s. And so we either, if we're boomers, because we speak to a lot of boomers here, if you're a boomer, like I am, although I'm on the older age of boomerism, but I'm still a boomer, we knew about Transcendental Meditation, TM.
Yeah.
What would happen in the 60s and even in the 70s was gurus and Transcendental Meditation and John Lennon and Yoko Ono going to the ashram, and this was our introduction. In other words, it was pretty heavy stuff. And I might even say it might have been drug-related, too, because in those days, this was all one piece of kind of changing the culture. Now, people before us, who might be in their 70s, 80s, and 90s now, this was totally foreign. I mean, they had no part of this culture. Today, heartfulness is, you have some of this practiced in hospitals. There are doctors that say, go home and meditate. So we see.
Yeah, I was giving a workshop in a hospital just a few months ago.
So in terms of the magazine, what do we find in this? Is this a help that we can do for ourselves, or should it always be in community? And how do we get trained? I know you have websites for us to look at, and I want people to know how to take this to the next step, and then we'll come back for our next segment. But how do we take this to the next step if we want to learn more?
Well, if you want to learn more, the easiest way to start understanding what the practice is to go to our website, which is heartfulness.org, and it'll tell you how to meditate. Basically, there's a simple relaxation that'll relax your body from the feet to the head and allow you to just settle into meditation. You don't have to be an adept meditation practitioner to start. You just have to be willing to try and curious about what might transpire when you sit and tune in. So after you relax your body, then you can find out how to meditate, which is just simply sitting with your eyes closed with the idea that the source of light is present within your heart. And a lot of people, when they start to meditate, they think that they have to have a completely suspended thought. They shouldn't have any thoughts at all. And with this practice, you don't have to stop your thoughts. But if you notice that you have those thoughts, just gently bring your attention back to the source of light in the heart. And that thought will become a feeling, and that feeling will become an experience. And that experience is what we center in that becomes part of our day. So the meditation is just a training to be in a meditative state throughout the day, where as you're having inputs instead of reacting unconsciously, you're able to be active and participate from your holistic self. So if you want to be supported in your meditation journey, then you want to connect with a trainer like myself. And in the heartfulness practice, unlike some other practices, there's a completely volunteer service. So the whole practice from start to finish is free of cost. There's never any charge. If you come to a gathering, maybe there'll be some cost for food or some, you know, basics like that. But the practice itself, we don't sell because it's already inside. The trainers will help you go deeper, and the unique element of the heartfulness practice, other than the attention and the focus on the heart, is what we call yogic transmission. And yogic transmission might sound a little bit woo-woo, but it's really just the movement of, it's kind of like, think of a radio tower. Like you have this radio station, and it's transmitting into the air, and people are taking their radios and turning it into a certain, you know, frequency and picking up that vibration. So what the trainer does is...
Yeah, well, we come back, because I don't want to cut you off while you're giving us what I consider the punchline. When we come back, we'll talk about how this training goes and why so many people, including businesses, are very interested in doing it, and also what it has to do with energy. I think as we age, we have a little difficulty with meditation. We think of it as sitting in one place or get stiff, but we begin to accept the issue that energy is a real force.
You may think that I'm
whether we have massages or Reiki or whatever, we get it. We come back, we'll see if we can get it even further with heartfulness
and meditation. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so very good. So I'm going to reintroduce you, and you'll give the websites and the training and so on where they could find it. We'll start with that. And then I want to go back to what you got cut off on, all right? And that is that there's a source of light, we'll say. Now, we can't get too deeply into it because, and I'm going to say this on the air, because people will get turned off. I'll say it right away. But if we talk about energy, we all know that there's energy in the room, that our energy levels change, that we even have communal energy, and we can talk about that. Now, so that will definitely do. Is there any other points that you particularly want to get out?
Just that it's free of cost, and if you want to connect with a trainer, then you can learn to go deeper. I think more than the energy is experiencing it. So we can talk about it as much as we can, but to understand what it is to experience it.
I think that's a very, very, very good point. Okay, Stuart, we're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and we are trying here on our show, Generation Bold Radio, to make some real changes in your life. And the only way to do that is for you to get educated first, to get it, to get what we're trying to bring across, and then if you see something in it for yourself, to do something about it. And this is in many areas. We've talked about everything from what's a good supplement for your prostate to how to get out there and meet new men and women to having people who have written books about grieving. And we'll also be having a wonderful show next week about traveling all over the world safely. So there's no end to the topics that come into our life after we have become mature, so to speak, meaning 55 plus, and we have listeners who are younger, we have listeners who are much, much older. But the fact is they all have one thing. They have the drive to successful aging. And we have today Emma... Emma Ivatori, who is the editor of Heartfulness Magazine. Also, she is a trainer in heartfulness meditation. Try to explain to us something that's very, very difficult to explain. And that is how you can tap into a source of light. The minute we talk about this in community, everybody shuts down. I mean, that's just the American way. It's simple as that. And Emma, during the break, said something extremely interesting. She said it doesn't matter because you have to experience it anyway. If you haven't experienced it, you can't get it. I'll put my two cents in and then throw it over to you, Emma. I've experienced it very simply every single Friday, including today, by the way, we're pre-taping. I will be doing 2 hours of meditation in a group. And I know the difference, and everybody in that group knows the difference between doing meditation in a group and doing it by yourself. Now, if you can tap into a universal energy like that, then you can meditate anywhere. You're always in a group, so to speak. It doesn't matter where you are, who you are, if you're on the bus or if you're, you know, sitting in your chair or if you're in an ashram. But it's something to be experienced. Now, you did put together, your group has put together a fantastic program in New Jersey, people can get this in their own community. So let us know how to find you so we can replicate some of these things.
Definitely. So we are happy to come to community centers or any corporations, hospitals, places of wherever you're gathering or are connected with and conduct workshops free of cost. So if you go to heartfulness.org and email us at info@heartfulness.org, we're happy to connect you with somebody locally, and we can conduct a workshop. And it's really more about, you know, I can go on and on about the philosophy of meditation or the benefits, or you can experience it for yourself and see. Make it a scientific approach and see what that experience inside is like. And we're happy to help people learn what that feels like and how they can incorporate it more effectively into their day and any questions they might have as they go along their meditative journey.
Yeah, I must say, it has been a very religious time in the last few months. I mean, for some religions, there was Lent, there's Ramadan, there's the reading of the Torah, starting the reading of the Torah all over again. So between my own spirituality and my friends, something has been happening. In every service that people have gone to, they've come back and told me, and it's true in my own service, that the spiritual leader, whether it's a priest, a rabbi, an imam, didn't matter, told them to meditate. So something is happening here. From the hospitals and the doctors to the neuroscientists who tell you that meditation is good for your brain, and the more meditation you do, the less chance you have of having dementia. And pain, too. That it takes pain, the pain centers go down while they're watching exploring neurologically how people who are meditating, to the spiritual leaders. So there seems to be almost like a critical mass here. And again, it's a wonderful thing. Now, how are you seeing it? Because you're kind of right in the center of this thing. Do you see a change from the first when you first started this to now?
Well, I'll tell you, I was just at New York University, and we were with the Center for Global Spiritual Studies. I don't remember exactly the title, but we were talking to the assistant director there, and she has meditative programs on campus at NYU. And when I was in school, you know, a decade ago, I didn't have those kinds of resources, or if we did, I didn't know about them. So you're seeing the zeitgeist change and open. I think yoga did a great job setting the foundation in the 90s and the early 2000s as a bridge. You know, it's a physical bridge. You get a physical workout, but you're also exposed to maybe more of the Eastern principles. And at the end, you have like a brief meditation or a brief check-in when you're laying down or sitting up. And so people are starting to understand, oh, this is a really great part of my practice, but they're wanting to expand that more. And I love what you said about religious experience. If you look at every founder of every major religion, you know, what was Jesus doing when he was on the mountain? What did Buddha do to understand those insights that he garnered? What was Moses doing when he was connecting with God? They were having an interiorized experience of the divine within themselves. And then we're seeing it on the scientific side. UCLA has research studies that prove that there's an increased thickness of the prefrontal cortex when you meditate. Harvard talks about how regular meditation may slow down mental aging. And a York hospital has done a heartfulness-specific study that exemplifies how it can reduce burnout and increase emotional wellness. So we're seeing on the whole spectrum that we can integrate this approach into our life in a practical, effective way, regardless of how we're approaching it. And our reasons for trying it out in our life are unique to us, and our experience with it can also be unique, but as simple or as profound as we're interested in.
You You know, I'm an attorney by background, and don't hold that against me. I stopped practicing a while ago, and I work in the field of financial gerontology, helping people make sure their money lasts all their life. And but I follow what's going on with law and law firms.
Yeah.
So the Wall Street Journal recently had an article that law firms in New York are having meditation sessions.
Yeah.
If you know how law firms work, it's 24/7 a day work. How do you live long enough to become a partner? It becomes the problem. Yes,
I know.
They're beginning to meditate, so this is quite something.
Mm-hmm.
But before we leave, I'm curious about the magazine itself. How often does it come out, and what types of articles will we see when we read?
Well, the magazine is free online. It's at heartfulnessmagazine.com. It's a monthly publication, and you can subscribe to it for free online, or you can purchase a print subscription where you get it delivered to your door every month. And there's a whole range of articles from self-improvement to relationships. There's some focus on nature. Then we go a little bit deeper in our inspiration section if that's something interesting for you. We generally have an interview, and then there's a section for children with a teaching story and an activity. So it's quite a span.
It's beautiful, and now you hit another issue, which is your grandchildren. The fact is that we know from studies that they're looking at you, and they're looking into what you do. So if you're meditating, probably they're going to meditate, even if their parents look at you, you know, like you've got two heads. So I have to tell you, we've finished with our section. I can't believe it. We have a surprise guest coming in that's going to dovetail right into this. So thank you so much for being with us, Emma.
And I freely so happy to connect with you today. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
For my age. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
Okay, so that was pretty perfect.
Alrighty.
I'm going to go and
okay, good. Bring,
so you won't believe, but I'm going to run right now like a wreck after 2 hours of a show, get dressed, and go to meditation.
I love
walk
it.
In like a wreck.
Perfect.
But I do that every week.
Well, and it sounds like the perfect thing to do after.
It is, and I'm going to bring this material to my meditation group because, you know, they're going to love it. Maybe one or two of them will come tomorrow. And
that'd
but they're
great.
All going to be interested in it. And we just did Kabbalah yoga.
Oh, yeah. I started my meditation path with a lot of Kabbalah teachings. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm bringing them videos today on that. So we're working on it. We're trying to do the right thing and see this as part of successful aging. So thank you so much. Where are you? Are you in California?
I'm in New Jersey.
You're in
California cell phone, yeah. So I'll be there tomorrow. So maybe we can connect with through Kelly.
Oh, that's great. But I mean, in general, are you in California?
No, I moved to New Jersey.
Oh, you're permanently here. Okay, what part?
Yeah, I just got married in April, and we're near Princeton.
Wow, I live near Princeton. I'm a grief facilitator over in Princeton at Good Grief, which is
Plainsboro.
You're in Plainsboro. You know, I'm really not. I live in New Jersey, but I'm not from New Jersey. I never know where anything is. But I know where Princeton
is. Me either.
Okay.
We're near
my
Princeton.
Kids, my kids are in L.A., which is why I asked you.
Yeah,
that.
I lived in L.A. for about 10 years, and that's where I started meditating.
Interesting. All right. We'll talk soon. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Have a great one.
I do have a question about tomorrow, just very quickly. I apologize.
Of course.
I'm also a long-distance walker. And we're doing one of our 16-mile walks tomorrow, which will end about 4 o'clock. Now, I know your program is from 4 to 8 tomorrow, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Do you walk in at any time, or is it like a show where you should be there on time?
Yeah.
How does
you certainly can come. You can get seated at any time. The meditation will be in the first half. So there'll be a couple of government speakers that'll talk for about 10, 15 minutes. Then there'll be another couple of speeches, maybe another 15 minutes, and a Q&A with Kamlesh Patel, who's the global leader of Heartfulness, for about a half an hour. And then they'll go from that into the meditation. So definitely try to get there in the first hour, if possible,
to
experience meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then after the meditation, there's music or... What happens then?
So There's a 20-minute intermission, and then there's the classical Indian music concert.
Well, that's beautiful. Really beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's NJPEC. This is your first target place for this kind of thing?
So we were in Detroit and Los Angeles. Detroit was the first weekend of the month, and then L.A. was the next weekend.
Very, very interesting. Okay, yeah. And so you're the editor, and then you've got – but this is global, right?
Yeah, it's in over 120 countries.
Right, and the headquarters is in India or where?
Yeah. Yeah, it's in Chennai, India, the world headquarters.
Okay, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now, your funding comes from contributions.
Yes, so it's all nonprofit, donation only.
Right. And are you the editor-in-chief, or is there an editor-in-chief of the magazine?
Yeah, the editor-in-chief is Elizabeth Denley. I'm a co-editor and designer.
Okay. And is she in this country, or where is she?
She's in Australia.
She's in Australia. So it's the same magazine, but in different languages all over the world?
So we have it right now in French and Russian, and I believe they're looking into expanding it into Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's another publication in German, but I don't know if it's exactly the same content.
Okay. And the contributions, are they like big donors or a lot of little people?
It's a range. I mean, we do have some corporate sponsors that gave larger donations for the conferences. And then, you know, the members are asked to donate as much as they're able to. But, you know, if they don't, then there's no, you know, there's no pressure. Yeah.
Okay. So, very good.
And actually, I think of it, I think I would love to solicit an article from you for the magazine if it's something you're open to. Either I can interview you or you can write about, you know, the work that you do. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about meditation, but that can be an element of it. I feel like you have a lot of great research insight.
Yeah, I want people to know about the show and about the concepts of successful aging and what's behind them.
Yeah. Please, I'll shoot you an email. And,
shoot me an email, and I think the best could be a brief interview, and do with it what you will. I'd love that. That'd be wonderful.
Sounds great. Okay, good.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Right, bye.
Bye.